innercitygeeks.net.
Going on, everybody. Welcome to the Inner City Geeks podcast. This is episode 241. Steve here. And I got Renee with me today.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Chilling, man. Chilling. It's just another amazing day. It's back to regular weather here in Florida, which is fucking great.
Yeah, it's like 80 something, but it's not humid, so I just
no. It's perfect weather right now. It's like it's not humid, it's not breezy, it's not cold, it's not chilly, it's not anything. It's just regular weather, and it feels good.
Yeah, it's been like a really weird weather year for down here.
Yeah, like of course you know we've had like you know the coldness the last few weeks. And that's pretty much the amount of winter that we get out here, period. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun to have, actually, you know, I'm going to say, like, what, like 3 weeks of cold? Yeah. And now we're back to, you know, the regular time, the regular weather.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yeah, spring gets kind of hot here, so yeah, like in about a couple of weeks, it's gonna start getting hot.
Yeah, again. Spring is technically like regular summer here.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. I don't mind at all. It's cool. It's not bad. So what have you been up to, man? It's been a week. So what have you been watching? What have you been doing?
I just want to start with the WandaVision stuff because, like, I was so wrong, and they swerved us because we're recording on the 26th, so episode 8 hit today.
Yes.
And last week was when they revealed that it was always Agatha.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't they got me. Like, I was like, I did not think they were going to use Agatha in the show, and then I was like, fuck, like, it's her.
Yeah.
So, I was totally wrong.
Yeah, it was something that I kind of saw coming from the get. I was like, they have to have something that has to be like, you know, a bigger witch in this other than her.
Yeah.
To make it seem, because of course, you know, we already have fucking Doctor Strange, who's a witch himself, a wizard or whatever. And now that we know that there are others like them. So why couldn't they just bring somebody of the even darker magic into this? And I'm glad that they did with this. They did this with Agatha and stuff. And the possibilities could still be endless with when it comes to witches within the Marvel Universe as well, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, we don't want to talk too much about today's episode because it just came out and not everybody's seen it, even by Monday when this goes up.
Right.
So we're going to wait to talk about that next week. I think next week is the last episode, right?
Yeah, next week is the final episode of WandaVision, and I really think we should do a whole WandaVision episode.
Let's see how it ends, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sounds like a great idea.
Even if it has a shitty ending, we should still talk about the episodes because we've only like sprinkled little bits and pieces of each episode in the thing. So why not go and take like a deep dive into the entire series?
And we're one of the few podcasts that hasn't spoiled the shit out of the show. So
you know what it is. We also follow the 48-hour rule. Like
yeah,
of course. Granted, like the show comes out way after the 48 hours, but there are people that still, you know, even though it's been a week, so we technically we follow the rules still. We haven't fully gone into spoilers as far as anything that comes to that as well.
Yeah,
and with just about anything too, because a lot of stuff that we do watch and that do have spoilers for people, we don't really say much about them. Because, of course, we want you guys to actually watch them and actually enjoy them for what they are.
Actually, yeah, we're pretty good with that. I mean, I'm not that big of like I don't take this stuff that seriously, that spoilers bother me.
Yeah.
But it was kind of funny the way like the internet, like you had to see WandaVision like at 3 in the morning to not get spoiled because everybody
Yeah.
was talking about it by the time the sun came
Yeah.
up. But yeah, like it's been a great show. One thing I want to say before I forget it, and we'll probably mention it next week. The way they incorporated the comic book stuff into the last two episodes, into the show's last two episodes has been fucking stellar and really well done. And especially in the episode that came out today, a lot of that is straight from the comic book, but they made it work for the MCU because Agatha's like a really big part of Wanda's kind of like magical awakening part. Because they didn't really like work with her until like the 80s, right? Because they had like that 12-issue Vision and Scarlet Witch and Vision series, which was really like it was a long time ago. I think John Byrne did it, and it was good. I remember reading that and I was like, okay, it's pretty good.
That's good.
I just was never into the magic part of the Marvel Universe that much. Like it took me until the Doctor Strange movie to actually like check out Doctor Strange. So
Right.
but the other stuff I've been doing lately this week, I got a 4K TV and I really like it. It's 4K stuff on a 4K TV just looks astounding. I got a really cheap one for 250, a 50 inch for 250 at Walmart, and it's a really good TV. And it reminded me of something from New York. In New York, you get this propaganda about like, oh, Walmart's the most evil fucking thing in the world. And as I got older, I started realizing that it's not just Walmart. Like, it's really hypocritical of people to be like, oh, fuck Walmart, but they'll go to fucking Target or they'll
Yeah.
go to whatever else.
See, but that's what I always think is like the reason New Yorkers usually say fuck Walmart is because there is no real Walmart in New York.
Yeah, and I do agree that the price structure with Walmart would destroy retail in New York because
Oh yeah, absolutely.
you get really good stuff for like really fucking dirt cheap. And I've said it before on the show like a long time ago, but like if it wasn't for Walmart, I don't know what I would have done when I was like, driving hard for Uber and when I was homeless and some other stuff. Like Walmart before the pandemic stuff was 24 hours. So wherever I was, I had a bathroom to go to and a place to get some food. And like you don't really have that in New York anymore. And at the same time, like, yeah, man, like stuff in New York is ridiculously expensive just because it's in New York. And if you have a Walmart, which they always keep the prices the same no matter what, because like the prices for the Walmarts here and are the same as the prices in Miami. And Miami is like New York expensive sometimes. So yeah, like Walmart is an evil corporation. I mean, we both have stories about how fucked up they are. But if you want to get a cheap TV, go to Walmart and use the app because they have good shit.
And also if one thing that I did notice is that if you use the app, check the prices on the app as well as in the store, because sometimes it'll have be one price on shelf, but if you check the app, you'll notice that it's a different price. So always do that as well.
That's a good point. So yeah, so I got that. The Mortal Kombat stuff that I was bitching about actually went on sale. So it's like, I think the sales are till the end of this week because we're posting on Monday. If you want to get the Mortal Kombat Ultimate stuff for Mortal Kombat 11, it's $30 until I think March 6th or 7th. So definitely worth picking up. I got that. It comes with Joker, Rambo, Terminator, RoboCop, and like the other missing ninjas that were not in the regular Mortal Kombat 11.
Nice.
What else? Oh, I got the Warhammer 40K Indominus box.
Big
So, all
box.
right. Yeah, the big box. So, Warhammer is a role-playing game. I mean, it's so many things, but like the main part of it is supposed to be the tabletop war game where like, you have your set squad or army and you fight against somebody else. So the hobby of the game is kind of like hard to get into sometimes. And what they do when they change the rules is they make a set or sets that it's like a box set that like has everything you need to start up. Like it'll have two different factions and the rule book and all the other stuff that you need and to get going. And it's a really good set. The other thing that I've been out of it for so long that I didn't know this was going on. You don't need glue to put most of these. You don't need glue to put together the ones that came in the Indominus box. They're all plastic. The hard part is like taking them out of the trees and shit, the plastic stuff, because you got to be really careful to like get it exactly right.
You got to get like a little baby cut scissors.
Yeah, I bought the box set and a quick set of paints, and it comes with a little tool. I actually picked up an X-Acto knife at Walmart earlier when I went out, because of course they would have it, and it was cheaper than Amazon too. But yeah, so I got the box. It comes with like 61 miniatures. Altogether, the army's like, I think, 10,000 points, which is crazy. You're like 1,000 points for the whole thing. And yeah, it's a really good set, man. Like, it's probably the best one they've made since, like, I guess the 80s. Because I had the one from 2000s, the early 2000s. And I forgot which one it was. But yeah, man, this is a really good box set. It's not cheap. It's $200. But if you're going to be playing and you want to get into Warhammer, it's pretty affordable. Because, yeah, like the rule book alone that it comes with is like $80 if you buy it. So,
yeah. And on top of having the figures, the regular, you know, miniatures, it also has like vehicles and, you know,
yeah.
some of the miniatures are actually bigger than the other ones. So they're like the boss. Yeah. Like that. It's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, like, so it has this box that is the Indominus box. I think it's like $180 on Amazon, but I paid $200. It comes with the Necrons, which are like another race, and then the human Space Marines. So the Space Marines have like these assault squads, which are like guys that jump around in like jetpacks, and they have a motorcycle assault squad, and there's like three of them in that box set. And the Necrons are all like robotic killer robots that are like, you know, undead. So some of their models are pretty big, pretty huge, actually. Like, their vehicles are really big.
Nice.
So I'm going to probably start putting them together this weekend. And, yeah, like, it's a really cool set. What cracked me up was that because of all that shit, I didn't come with a set of dice. I was like, okay. You need dice to play the game. You need dice and, like, a little ruler, because some of the shots and some of the moves that you do, you got to, like, be precise.
Right.
And you roll for everything. Like, every time you shoot a gun, or every time you move, you roll. So, like, yeah, you need dice. And I found them at Walmart, too. And they were cheaper than Amazon, like, the knife. So, yeah, that's pretty much been my week, I think. I saw Willy's Wonderland, which is really funny. It's a Nick Cage movie where it's kind of like Five Nights at Freddy's. And, like, he gets stuck in this, like, arcade thing, like Chuck E. Cheese. And the robots are haunted and evil. And it's a really good movie. It's a good B movie. It's a really cool horror movie. Way gorier than I thought it was going to be. And it was a really fun, really stupid movie. It's definitely worth your time. It's a little pricey on Amazon. I think it's like $20 to rent it. But I would wait till that shit goes down. But it's really funny and really good. And Nick Cage doesn't talk in the whole movie, which I thought was great.
Okay, it's just seeing his reactions through everything, pretty much.
Yeah, and he's like a badass in it, so it was just a really fun, stupid movie. It's the kind of movie you definitely have to check your brain at the door.
Okay.
But that was my week. So what have you been up to?
Other than working, yeah, I haven't been doing anything else other than working for the most part, and then watched a few things. This past week, we actually got the season premiere of Superman and Lois. And I am going to say it. I've never been a fan of Superman. I've mentioned it on the show before, and I'm going to keep saying it. Never been a fan of Superman. But after watching the show, I'm going to say, like, I could be turning a new leaf and actually may give him a shot. The show is actually really, really good. It's better than most of the CW shows in the fact that, like, it doesn't play like a regular CW show. It is a lot more grounded, and it technically, from what I've seen so far, it doesn't have any real connections to anything else outside of, you know, Smallville and Metropolis. They don't say anything about, oh yeah, well, I have a cousin, or, you know, oh yeah, you know, I fought against all these other people, I did this with these people, I know Batman, I know, you know, I know the Flash, I know Arrow. It doesn't say anything like that, which is very interesting, because of course, you know, he was a major part in, you know, in Crisis that came out of a couple last year. But it's actually a really fun watch. Like, I really enjoyed it a lot. Especially the fact that like I said, it is very grounded, but the fact that Superman actually has kids in this, which we don't really see much very often, but the kids have your what you would expect to see from a teen, of course, because like I said, you don't really see them very much in the comics for the most part either, like especially teenage sons for Superman. I know we've seen even recently that he has like a young kid or whatever, or a clone of him or whatever, like Superboy and stuff, Superboy Prime. But seeing what they did on the show so far is very interesting, and I like it a lot. I'm gonna say like it's probably gonna be one of my favorite shows to actually sit down and actually watch until we get to see anything else from the DC universe. So I'm very excited to see what they're gonna do with this and the Arrowverse or the CW verse or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But it looks good. It's very good. It's definitely worth the watch. So go check that out. Another thing that I watched this week that I finished actually watching because I started watching it a couple weeks ago was the crime scenes. What is it called? The crime
Cecil
scene.
Hotel,
Yeah, the Cecil Hotel. Yeah, the crime scene at the Cecil Hotel is.
the case of Lisa Lim, something like that.
Eliza Lamb.
Eliza Lamb, yeah.
Yeah. It's based on true events. Of course, it's the four episode series. True crime shit. I've been getting into a lot of the true crime stuff now because I'm older and I want to venture into things that have happened before and see the motivations and why things happen the way they do. And watching this, I was like, okay, this is interesting. It's a very weird tale because, of course, this was at a time that there were cell phones, there were, cameras and places that everything you could possibly think of was around at the time, and then it's still a huge mystery as to what the fuck happened.
Yeah, it was 2013, right?
Yeah. So in 2013, like I said, it's based on true events. This girl from Canada comes down to California. She stays in the Cecil Hotel that is in Skid Row in LA or whatever. And it's a shitty fucking neighbor, a shitty area.
Now I've
So
driven through there, man. That place is fucked up.
yeah, it's shitty. It's a shitty area. It's like the hoodest of hoods that you would expect. There are like people camped out on the streets everywhere. There's pollution, of course. It's just a grimy ass place of the city, part of the city. And but it's a very famous hotel because the inside of it is actually really, really nice for the most part. It's also a huge hotel that has like 400 rooms and shit. And they go into a lot of the story for the hotel and stuff like that. But what happens to this girl that she winds up coming down here? She winds up dying, and they don't know how the fuck she died. And the only reason that they knew she was there, other than the fact that she posted a bunch of shit online, was that they see this video of her in the camera in the elevator. And that's the famous video that we see online. If you look it up, you'll see her in the Cecil Hotel. Basically, like she's having a bit of like a 2 minute thing in the elevator, like looking like she's talking to somebody, or she's like, "What the fuck is going on?" She's looking around, and it's just a very, very weird thing. And then it turns out, like right after that, like I guess kind of spoiling it, but you know.
I mean, it's been what, till 7 years? Well, yeah.
Right, yeah. But she winds up dying in
The water tank on the
the
roof of
water
the
tanks on
hotel.
the roof.
One of the water tanks in the roof.
Yeah. Because there's four water tanks up there, but she winds up falling into one of them and she winds up dying. So the whole series is basically trying to figure out how did she wind up there? Did somebody push her in there? Did she, was she taking drugs? What was the case? And it's a very, very interesting watch. It's and the interesting thing about it is something I was talking to Renee about was the fact that like The LA cops stopped working on it after a few days because a lot of them got pulled off to do another fucking thing that was happening, which was a shootings, mass shootings that was happening
A
with the,
cop, yeah, a cop went on a rampage because he thought he was being like mistreated. When you read the story, it's actually really fucked up because the guy was just nuts. I heard about it because Chappelle mentioned it in one of his first like comebacks to stand up, and I was like, no, he talked about it when George Floyd got killed, and I was like, I get what he's saying, but when I looked up the case, I was like, yeah, he's totally wrong about this. He was right about everything
There's a
else.
lot more to it.
But yeah, there's a lot more to it than just a black man going on a rampage because he hates the cops. Like, there's a lot more to it. Like, the guy had a really dangerous, damaged past. But yeah, you were saying about the show?
So the cops pretty much were didn't really focus on it. And what winds up happening is that like a bunch of YouTubers decided to fucking investigate it. And that's what made it even bigger because a lot of these YouTubers started talking to the cops and giving them hints like, oh yeah, this is what could be happening, this is what could be happening. And you're like, why are these YouTubers doing more than the actual police?
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I was like, what the fuck? Why can't the police actually do this on their own? But they're too busy trying to figure some other shit out.
Yeah, like the story that they mentioned about the cop thing that happened was really nuts. Like the guy went on a rampage for like a week, 2 weeks, and like everybody in the West Coast was looking for him at one point. And yeah, like this happened and some other cases happened during this period that really fucked up. Now, I know the story, but I only saw the first episode of that crime scene. Because, like, the second episode ends up being like a commercial for YouTubers. And I got like halfway through it. And because you said it was good, I'm gonna finish it next week. But my thing with the YouTuber thing is that, like, they're not really experts. They're just, this
No,
is
I
a
know.
hobby for them, right?
Yeah,
So they're
it's
not.
like you and I. It's like you and I right
Yeah.
now. Like we're talking. Well, technically, we're on YouTube right now. We're
Yeah,
just
yeah.
talking. So
Yeah.
they go into their own type of investigation of the thing, and they kind of solve it, but they don't at the same
Yeah,
time.
like the cop when it comes to like true crime stuff on a media site, it's a little bit different than what we do because what we do has nothing to do with life or death. It's for
For
our
fun.
stuff is just fun. Yeah,
For
it's just
shits
like
and
we're just
giggles.
like yeah, it's just for fun, but like this stuff that they do, like they're messing with people's like mourning and shit that happened for real. And like a lot of YouTubers just they don't really care about because I'm a fan of like a couple of really good true crime channels. That Chapter, oh fuck, I forgot the other one, but the best one I found is True Chap That Chapter. And you said he's in the show.
Yeah, he shows up in a couple episodes. Not like he's not like features in it, but you see him in like
Yeah.
a few episodes in a couple of the episodes.
Yeah, he has a really good one on the cop and this one. I think I showed you the cop one.
Yeah, you showed me the cop one.
Yeah. The Lisa Lam the Lisa Lim Lam, whatever. Sorry. He goes into it really well too. But at the same time, like I kind of take him a little bit better because he's not trying to be something that he's not. And he's also very like emotional when he talks about it's not emotional, but hard to say. Like
He's very real about
Yeah, he's real about it. He's not like fucking monotone and he's like acting like he doesn't give a shit. He's like, wow, this is fucked up. So, the way the case was solved was that it was an accidental drowning. And a lot of the stuff that's in the video, if you actually pay attention and you know people and you've seen it or dealt with people who are bipolar or have mental issues, they have episodes like that. Plus, the elevator, like you see her pressing the buttons. Dude, the elevator wasn't moving. I used to do that shit. Like, what that's like your natural reaction. So
Yeah,
it's like
towards the end, the last episode or whatever, they actually explain like what actually happened to the elevator because a lot of these YouTubers wound up going there, and they saw everything that had to go with the elevator.
and the elevator sucked, right?
No, not that the elevator sucked. It was a good elevator, but there's a button that says hold elevator.
Oh yeah, and it just
So she
stays on.
pressed that button, and that button stayed leaves the door open for 2 minutes.
Yeah, all right, so that makes sense. See, like it wasn't a fucking cuckoo or a boogeyman. It was
Right,
a fucking
exactly.
elevator not working.
Exactly.
And
No,
like these
it's not that it wasn't working. The elevator, it was doing what
yeah, actually, yeah, like she pressed the button by mistake.
it was
But the one thing about the case that really fucking like shocked me was how not really shocked me, but like it's so stupid that they didn't fucking check the shit out until the YouTubers pointed it out.
Yeah.
But the cops, I've spoken about this off the air before, a lot because I've dealt with these cops. LAPD are some of the most inept police in the country. It's Miami, Chicago, and LA. And I've dealt with all three. And they're really, like, you just look at the cases that we're talking about. They're really fucking dumb about stuff. And they tend to drop the ball on a lot of cases, man. So, like, yeah, this is one of the cases where they dropped the ball. How nobody went up to the roof and, like, double-checked everything is beyond me. Like, they talk about it real quick in the first episode, how, like, you know, her trail ended, her scent trail ended at the window leading to the fire escape. Mm-hmm. But nobody went upstairs to check. Nobody fucking fingerprinted anything. They didn't do anything until YouTubers started pointing it out. No, actually, until the water tank started fucking, like, leaking her into the water.
Yeah.
And people were complaining about the odor and the water tasting. And it was like, what the fuck, guys? Like, that should have been one of the first things they did when they started the investigation. The other thing was that they didn't give a shit at first because she's like a young woman. And they just thought she was fucking around. Like, they thought she went out with some dude or whatever. And I'm like, yo, dude, like, that's fucked up. Like,
yeah,
it's wrong.
It's,
like,
it's not that black and white. Like,
yeah, it's fucked up. Like, the way, because I don't know if you remember the first episode, but they were like, yeah, we went through her social media stuff, blah, 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 blah. And mm-hmm. they took certain things the wrong way. And that prejudiced them towards her, thinking she's just being, you know, a stupid woman. And she wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was an accidental drowning. How the fuck she ended up there is really hard to explain. Yeah. But I will say, from experience with some of the drugs that she's on, that she's supposed to be on, if you drink any amount of alcohol, like mm-hmm. hard liquor, you will fuck around. Like, it really messes with you to the point of blacking out.
Yeah.
So who knows how she ended up there? But it's a sad case. But
it's a very sad case. Like, towards
but the show's good. But the show's
it's,
good.
It's definitely worth a watch. But it is very very it's very sad. Yeah. It's real sad, but you know it's worth the watch. Like it makes you think and makes you, you know, wonder and think about, you know, people's psyche and what they have that's going on in their brains. So yeah. It's definitely worth the watch. So go check that out. That's on Netflix. That's the crime scenes, the Sizzle Hotel, and yeah, go check that out. And then the last thing that I actually watched this week, that I actually watched that this morning, other than, you know, WandaVision. I watched Tom and Jerry that came out on HBO's. And that is, it's not a great movie. I'll say that for sure. But of course, it's not great because, you know, it's not for adults. It's not for us grown people to actually enjoy. I don't really care. I watch anything because, you know, I like watching stuff. But this movie is definitely not meant for adults. It's a kids movie. It's Tom and Jerry, dude. Like, well, do you really expect something more from Tom and Jerry? Of course. So here's the I guess the brief synopsis of it or whatever. Tom and Jerry are new to New York City. That should say it all. they don't know where they're going. They're just like, fuck it, let's just go to New York. Of course, they're going in their own ways or whatever, but they both wind up at this hotel, and Chloe Grace Moretz, she's the main character in this or whatever, and she is looking for a job, and she winds up getting a job at the same hotel too, and then all craziness happens, and there's actually pretty cool actors in it. The dude with the mustache from Deadpool, he's in it. One of the dudes from SNL is in it. Well, he used to be in SNL. Oh no, actually, he's still in SNL now. Colin Jost, he's in it. And Michael Pena from Ant-Man, he's in it too.
Okay.
Yeah, but besides that, like, it's one of those, like, did they really need to make this movie? No, they didn't have to. There was no need for it. Another cool thing, there's a couple cool things about it. Like, one thing that I enjoyed was the fact that, like, all the animals were actually animated, which has made it kind of cool. Like, it's not just Tom and Jerry that are cartoons in this entire thing. So all the animals, whether it's, you know, Tom and Jerry or other cats, dogs. At the one point of the movie, there's a tiger, and then there's elephants, the peacocks and shit that are in it, and the birds. The first thing you see in the movie are birds, and kind of like the pigeons.
Oh, from Animaniacs.
From kind of like the pigeon from Animaniacs,
Okay.
and it's weird because they're mad hood for some reason.
Okay.
You would expect they would have, at least switched it up a little bit, but yeah, they're like real hood ass pigeons, which kind of makes sense because, of course, pigeons in New York don't give a fuck. But yeah, it's one of those movies. It's like, was it really necessary? Like I said, and it's really not. It's okay. It's if you're a kid, you'll enjoy it. For as if you're an adult, you will not enjoy it. like I said, I'm indifferent about it. Like, I didn't hate it. I don't love it. It's one of those movies. Like, I could have just, it's something that you don't have to pay attention to actually be like, okay, cool. It's a movie. It's there.
Okay. Like,
Yeah.
I'm curious. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not completely bad. There are some redeemable moments about it, but it's also one of those movies. It's like, do I really need to sit through this? You don't have to. Yeah, if you've seen a bunch of these movies that's been made from like things that we've seen in our past, like let's say Yogi Bear. You've watched Yogi Bear, you see Yogi Bear in real life, and that's what that is. But you watch this one, you're like, okay, yeah, I see Tom and Jerry, and it follows all the tropes, everything that you would expect to see in a movie like this. So don't go in and expecting like some, amazing Oscar-winning type acting in it. Or anything that you could win any type of awards other than probably like a Razzie or something.
Okay.
It's one of those.
Okay.
But like I said, it's not, like I said, it's not bad. I'm not gonna, I guess I am kind of shitting on it, but I'm not really trying to shit on it at the same time. Like, it's not for adults. It's more for children. So don't be too much of a dick about it.
Yeah, I don't take it that seriously. Some of the reviews are like extra harsh, and I'm like, dude, this is, like you said, it's a kids' movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's a movie that you shouldn't take it too seriously, because of course, we know what we like, especially for something that's been out for how many years? Tom and Jerry's been out for, since like what, the 70s, the 60s, and
No,
70s?
since like the 50s.
Look at that shit. Forever. And they're just trying to bring it to a younger audience. Kids that probably haven't seen the Tom and Jerry cartoon since the 50s or since the
Okay.
80s, like us, since the 80s or whatever. You barely see it on TV anymore, and the fact that everything else is on Cartoon Network and all this shit, like it gets drowned out with everything else that's happening.
Okay.
So seeing that, they're kind of, it has a lot of the slapstick stuff that we've seen from, Tom and Jerry cartoons. It's there. It's all there. So there are some things that, like I said, are enjoyable about it, but don't go in expecting like amazingness throughout the entire thing.
Oh, okay. I get you.
Yeah.
I did forget one thing that I watched. I watched Age of Samurai
Oh
on Netflix. It's really good.
Okay.
It's like a 6-episode thing. I saw it like in 2 weeks. It's really good. Deep dive into a certain part of Japanese history, like in the 1500s with the Samurai Wars,
Nice.
and it's definitely worth checking out.
Awesome. That's on Netflix too, right?
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, I think I might, take a dive into that, because I'm interested in it. Like, I've always wanted to see a lot of these historical type things, but the fact that like a lot of these things usually tend to just be just people just talking and blah blah
Yeah,
blah blah.
Netflix has gotten the formula right on
Yeah.
these like History Channel type shows where it's like half reenactment and like half talking heads. But this one, it has like a lot of Japanese scholars in it and a lot of
Oh yeah.
like you know, just everybody who's, you know, everyone who talks in it knows what they're doing and they know a lot about it, and it's like their field. So it's a really good show. I knew some of it. I knew that, like, when you watch it, like, I knew about when Nobunaga kind of, like, became Shogun, but I didn't know the rest. Like, I never looked into the rest of that. So it's a really interesting take. It covers, I think, like, 80 years in Japanese history in the 1500s.
Really?
So, yeah, it's really good.
Okay. Okay. I will definitely check it out. Because I like seeing stuff like that. Like, especially, like, for shit that I don't know about for the most part, because I don't know shit about a lot of the samurai shit. Like I know little bits and pieces of it, but I want to actually put it all together in my brains.
So make sure. Yeah, man, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, all right, cool. I'll definitely check it out. I guess I put this at a bit of a midpoint, so it's time for some musics. Something that, you know, like to throw in there. So before we actually get into some, like, the news of the week, because we got a lot of it. The band that I'm going to be talking about is a band called Royal Blood. They're kind of like a hard rock, actually a little bit of alternative, but it's actually pretty damn good. It has a really cool beat, sounds really good for a duo. It's fucking awesome. I like it. So check out Royal Blood with Trouble Coming. It's a good song. Very fun. Check it out and we'll be right back.
I hit trouble coming. I hit trouble coming. I hit trouble coming. Over and over again. I hit trouble coming. You don't think I would quit? I hit trouble.
Yay. That was a pretty cool song. I enjoyed the fuck out of that song. It's a fun bop, you know. He just listens to it like da, 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 da. It's cool. So yeah, I guess it's time to get into some geek shit. Of course, you know, we like I said, we have a bunch of shit that's come out this week that's, you know, pretty much, you know, tickled our fancies. Of course, we enjoy the geek stuff because, of course, you know, that's what we do, you know. We enjoy it. So, that's my fucking ad blocker. Stupid ad blockers. Well, the first thing that came out pretty much is basically like, what the f ad blocker thing. Hold on. Continue to the fucking site. Turn off the ad blocker. Okay. Hopefully this. Nope, it's still fucking there. Jesus Christ. Okay. So Kevin Feige basically was pretty much it talks about like, oh, what could possibly happen after WandaVision is over with? Of course, we know that this is supposed to lead directly into, you know, into Spider-Man and then into Doctor Strange and stuff. And possible a bunch of other possible things throughout the Marvel universe, but the main thing is basically like that everybody's pretty much wondering is like, are they gonna do a season two of WandaVision? Of course, we know from this that you know there's possibilities that they could actually do another season of it because we like I've been enjoying you know. Wanda and Vision's, you know, interactions with things throughout the entire show. But would it still fit after whatever happens at the end of the season?
Yeah, agreed.
Like I don't know. Like I would love to see it. Like of course, you know, it would be interesting to see what would go down because of course, you know, we're kind of in limbo at this moment. What could possibly happen, but the fact that like there are huge possibilities in seeing, you know, how it would basically affect the whole spectrum of whatever could be coming out for, you know, season not season four, but phase four of, you know, the MCU. And that's gonna be pretty interesting because of course we haven't seen much of, you know, Spider-Man. We all know that the new one is coming out, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But how the possibilities that it could also be, you know, that leading into the whole multi-universe type thing. Because of course, from what we know is that this ties in directly to that, which ties in directly into the multitude of fucking mad the madness.
Doctor
Of,
Strange, yeah.
yeah. So it's gonna be interesting to see what's gonna happen. 'Cause like that's one thing that Marvel has done really well is in basically tying in a bunch of these different stories and making it a huge thing, 'cause that's what Marvel has so much fucking so many things that they can go into.
Yeah, I read that article and some of the other stuff that he said. It was a really good thing. Like he did this interview this week, and he talked a lot about what's coming up. He was plugging Ms. Marvel, the TV show that he says is gonna lead into Captain Marvel. He's talking about the Loki stuff and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and yeah, like it's the Marvel stuff looks really good. Somebody online asked me which movies I'm looking forward to at this year, and this I can't just do one because there's so many coming out. One of them is Shang-Chi, which is supposed to be coming out September and on Disney Plus. And yeah, like I'm actually really looking forward to whatever Disney does with Marvel and Star Wars. So, but the Marvel stuff has been great too, man. Like I think WandaVision is as good as The Mandalorian. Like it's high quality TV, and I love that they're doing it now and they're actually getting it right because these characters mean a lot to a lot of people, and it's really easy to fuck them up. I mean, just look at DC. Everything DC did except for Wonder Woman. Yeah, it's really easy to fuck this up, and they've done a tremendous job in not fucking up. So yeah, I'm all in for whatever they come up with next.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see what they're gonna do. Because of course, you know, this is like we've mentioned it before, like this is a great time to be a fucking to be us, you know. A
Yeah,
great time to
nerd.
be a fucking geek, so great time to be fucking nerds. It's the perfect time for it. It's shit that we got shitted on when we were younger.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah,
shit that everybody loves now.
I remember like when Endgame came out, everybody was fucking going nuts. I'm like, the irony here is that you guys gave me shit for this all a long time ago, and I was trying to tell you back then that this stuff was awesome. And now y'all caught up, so it's all good. It's just great seeing the stuff that we saw. Even like I said last episode, I think it was the Infinity Saga stuff. I never thought I would see any of that shit on screen. And then and they did it, they pulled it off so well.
Yeah, they really did. They really did. They absolutely did. Then I guess continuing into the Marvel shit. This week, Spider-Man, Tom Holland, and Zendaya and what's the other kid's name?
Oh, I totally forget. I just know he's Ned in the.
The kid that plays Ned. They pretty much were like trolling us, basically giving us, you know, fake titles for the new Marvel Spider-Man movie. And it was fucking hilarious because there were so many memes of, you know, what could possibly be the title for it. So fucking funny. One of my favorite ones was Spider-Man at Home Depot or something like that.
Yeah, work at home.
Spider-Man work at home. It's so much shit because of course, you know, we've seen all the Spider-Man movies and we've had basically Homecoming and then Far From Home, and so what was the third title gonna be? And then we finally figured out that the new title is officially gonna be No Way Home. Which is very interesting because of course, you know, going I guess slightly back into WandaVision is WandaVision has been trying to find her home, right? I guess so. At this point, pretty much, Peter Parker is also trying to find where he's gonna be.
Yeah, where he belongs.
So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this. Of course, you know, we do know that there's supposed to be people from, you know, multiple dimensions, multiple universes in this as well. So where is he actually gonna wind up, you know, sticking at or sticking to? And that's gonna be really fucking cool. So
Yeah,
it's
I'm
going,
looking forward to it, man. Like that movie's definitely one of the ones on my list.
And this is something that's like I've been really looking forward to since the last one, because I love the way that they ended fucking Far From Home, and they pretty much left it open like, okay, yeah, what's gonna happen with Peter Parker? Because now everybody knows who Peter Parker is or who Spider-Man is. That's one thing that's fucking crazy. Of course, we've known about it because, of course, in the comics that happened back in Civil War and shit like that. But the fact that they actually put it out there, J. Jonah Jameson put it out there, and basically, what it is for them is basically online now. Because of course, you know, the Daily Planet doesn't really have like a real newspaper anymore at this point. It's kind of like a TMZ type thing.
Yeah, it reminds me of Alex Jones the way he did when he did the J. Jonah thing. I'm really glad they had this guy too back. J. Jonah.
Fuck yeah. Which kind of also brings the fact like, oh yeah, this would be perfect if they bring him back and then they have him in the alternate version of you know, J. Jonah Jameson with, you know,
Yeah.
the other kid or whatever. Fucking not Andrew Garfield, but the other one.
Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire. I forget all these names. My brain doesn't work very well. But one thing actually that like I was looking, something that popped into my head, well, not into my head, but on my feeds earlier this week, when this all came up, was that for some reason, somebody was basically circling the title screen of it or whatever that they basically pretty much put out, basically saying like, oh yeah, this is what, you know, I'll put it up here again. If you look at where the title is,
the dry erase board thing. Yeah, I kind of froze it on YouTube when I was watching it. Yeah, there's a bunch of different names on there. Some of them are the joke names, but some stuff is kind of like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of it, of course, you see the little hexagons that we've seen all throughout WandaVision and stuff. See all the hexagons. But a lot of the things that they did also talk about. See the little square right there. Could be the Tesseract.
Yeah,
it's the cosmic cube and stuff like that. See the different home worlds. But if you look at the main title right here in the middle, what a lot of people were saying online is that like that looks like Puerto Rico.
Oh shit. Huh. Oh wow, that's actually really interesting. I mean, the big space telescope is out there.
Right, exactly.
Like the biggest space observatory telescope, microscope, whatever the hell. It's out there, Arecibo.
Yeah. So could there be some type of shit?
Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, if it works out, cool. I mean, if not, it's just, you know, whatever. But it's kind of, now that you mention it, like, I can't unsee it.
Yeah. So,
it's pretty cool.
Yay, nerd shit. Super deep dive into the nerdery right there. But yeah, it's very interesting the fact that they're actually, you know, giving all these little hints of what could possibly be coming up. And
yeah, I mean, I'm psyched, man. Like, all this stuff is coming out. It looks like it's going to be great. So
yeah, I'm very excited. I can't wait. Cannot wait for Spider-Man. And then some other shit that came out this week. Outside of the Marvel stuff. We are big fans of G.I. Joe. And the fact that the G.I. Joe movies haven't necessarily, you know, fulfilled our G.I. Joe needs and our
fucked
of, yeah. But we got news that Amazon is actually working on a live action Lady Jane story, which is gonna be fucking cool, because you know Lady Jane is one of those characters that we haven't really seen much from other than what we've seen in the movies. That she was actually the lady that played it in the movies was actually the one that played in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a little while.
Okay.
But it's gonna be interesting because, of course, you know, Lady Jane is one of those characters that you don't really see much outside of, you know, she's not really a main character anywhere other than in G.I. Joe. And you don't really see her in anything else other than that. So, and seeing her, and so that way, even though G.I. Joe, of course, you know, Joe is the main dude, but and everybody else, it's cool to see other characters actually be in the top, you know, top shine. Especially for a live action show that they're gonna be doing.
Yeah, the Lady J show, if it gets off the ground and actually happens, I once this news kind of broke, because I'm a huge G.I. Joe nerd, I just think TV is a much better place for that kind of stuff. And
absolutely,
if they do it right, they can introduce a lot of concepts from the G.I. Joe universe. That could really work on TV, and I think if they take it seriously and don't make it too, like, if they do take it serious enough that it's like a really good show, but don't make it serious enough where people get like fucking stupid about it, I think it could work really well. I can't wait to see who they cast for the rest of the G.I. Joe team. She's supposed to be like dating she's supposed to be dating Flint, I think.
Okay.
Like, it's Lady J and Flint, they're always together. And yeah, like, it should be cool, man. Like, the other characters are nice too. Are great. So yeah, man. I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's just hope it gets off the ground. Amazon has not fucked up any of the shows that they've been doing lately. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm down. I look forward to this just to see how it is.
Yeah. The guy behind this is actually he's a guy that actually has been doing he's been writing and executive producer of The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah, which is a great show. I need to go back and watch the watch from the beginning, because
and he also Yeah, and he also did the executive producing for season three of Daredevil.
Okay.
Yeah, so he has a lot of good shit in under his belt. So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah,
And
man. Fingers crossed.
the lady that I was talking about that actually did the Lady Jane in G.I. Joe Retaliation was Adrian Pilecki.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which was very nice to look at, but the movie was not that great. But it was actually better than the first one. So
Yeah, I mean they both are fucking terrible, but yeah.
yeah, it was a lot more palatable than the first one.
See, those movies are a good example of what I was talking about. Like, if you don't take it seriously, it kind of falls apart. And it's not really a good story. But if you stick to like the fundamentals of G.I. Joe, the Cobra and their army, and Joe's doing their thing, it should be cool.
Yeah, it should be real cool. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do. Especially it's gonna be a whole series type thing, so that's what I'm excited for. Then another thing that came out this week is actually something that I put out on the Instagrams. I actually asked people on the Instagram and Twitter, like, yo, like, what would you want us to talk about this week? Just like you said earlier about the movies or whatever for the year. But I got a message saying that they wanted to know about Jeepers Creepers 4, because I didn't know they were doing a Jeepers Creepers 4. I think we kind of touched on something like that a few episodes ago, a lot of episodes ago, but we actually got news this week that Jeepers Creepers 4 is actually going to be titled Jeepers Creepers Reborn, and it's going to be coming out later this year. That's going to be very exciting. Because of course, Jeepers Creepers, the first one was the
Never seen it. Never seen those movies.
the set the
I just got around to fucking Final Destination, dude. Like, I'm really
okay.
behind on like the franchises.
Yeah. But the second was actually better than the first one. I never
Okay.
saw the third one. But yeah, this is gonna be the fourth one, and it's gonna be pretty interesting because of course, I wanna see where the story is going. Cause
What is it about?
I don't know, because I like the first one. It's weird. So according to this, okay, here's the log line for it or whatever. It's basically the film unfolds as the Horror Hound Festival holds its first ever event in Louisiana, where it attracts hundreds of geeks, freaks, and diehard horror fans from far and wide. Along them, fanboy Chase and his girlfriend Lane, who are forced to come along for the ride. But when as the event approaches, Lane begins to experience unexplained premonitions and disturbing visions associated with the town's past, and in particular, the local legend and the urban myth of the Creeper. And as the festival arrives, events go crazy and frenzy and Lane and it's just the typical horror type things wind up
Okay.
happening in it at the at this festival.
I know the first one is on one of the streaming things, so I'll check it out at some point.
Yeah, and the first one actually stars Justin Long, who we
I gotta see that. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, like I said, it's not too bad. The first two aren't too bad. The second one is a little bit better than the first one, because in the first one, the creeper dude, he's actually like obsessed with eyes, so you get to hear a lot of the Jeepers Creepers.
Okay.
Whenever you hear that, is when like the thing comes around and starts ripping people's eyes out and shit. But yeah. I don't know exactly. I don't think they really mentioned exactly when this is gonna be coming out, but it should be out sometime this year, and that's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a weird article because, like, I'm reading it and it's like, we have the date and then they don't say anything. They just say, oh, it's coming out.
Like it just leaves you. It's just completely ambiguous.
All right, it says fall 2021. So yeah,
Right.
fall this year.
Yeah.
I'll
So
check it out,
probably
man.
around October.
I'll check out the first one before. Yeah, more horror is always good. So
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
hopefully this is really good.
Yeah. Then I guess following over into the DC stuff. DC, of course, you know, they put out a bunch of shit. Of course, you know, we have, you know, the Arrowverse stuff, and then, you know, I just spoke about the Superman and Lois show earlier. If you guys saw on Crisis of Infinite Earths, we got to see actually that John Diggle that was on Arrow, he kind of became the Green Lantern at the end of it. And then people were wondering, like, are they going to do a Green Lantern series? Obviously, we know that, you know, they are working on a Green Lantern series for HBO Max, but that's like the Green Lantern core, and technically what we see in this is technically has nothing tied into, you know.
Yeah, it's separate.
It's its whole separate entity. Seeing that John Diggle was a huge part of Arrow, why just give him this character and then not feed him into anything? So what we've seen is basically what we've read and what we've gotten out of this year is that John Diggle will be returning as the Green Lantern in 7 episodes of in the next season of The Flash, and then into Supergirl, eventually in Superman and Lois, and eventually in Batwoman. So that's going to be pretty cool to see him in pretty much tied into every other episode in every other, you know, show that is on the DC universe or on the CW verse or whatever. And it's going to be cool because, of course, you know, we haven't seen anything from the Green Lantern at all in, you know, in this. And that's going to be pretty exciting. Like, I'm excited to see it because I did like him as, you know, pretty much Arrow's sidekick. But having him as, you know, the Green Lantern will be pretty cool because technically he is Jon Stewart.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, that's going to be pretty cool.
I know nothing about the Arrowverse, so.
Yeah. John Diggle was technically he doesn't use the name John Stewart because his mom changed his name. He changed his name because his stepdad was a better dad than his regular dad. So he changed Diggle instead of being John Stewart. So the Black Green Lantern is John Stewart, or John Diggle that we know is from the Arrowverse. Yeah. That's how that plays out pretty much. But it's actually a really, really, he's actually really good in Arrow. And if you want to watch the Arrow stuff for him, it's pretty cool. Especially towards the end of it. I'm going to say towards like season 4 or 5, he has a lot more TV time as, you know, his sidekick or whatever. Because they have a whole team of dudes with Arrow. So it's pretty cool to see him in that. And then another thing that came up for DC, some more Spider-Man news. Of course, more Superman shit. No, wow. Why is that Spider-Man? Well, I guess it's S and Man, whatever. Superman. We've had Man of Steel. We've had, you know, Batman versus Superman, but now we basically get news that DC is like, yeah, let's reboot Superman again, because why the fuck not? We do it with Batman all the time, so let's just give you more Superman, and It's something that's happening again. they're rebooting a whole nother universe with Superman. Of course, it could be just the fact that, you know, they are doing a whole Flashpoint event, so it could just erase everything that's happened before. But according to this, J.J. Abrams is actually involved in this, so that's pretty interesting because, you know, J.J. Abrams has like a really good team. He's going to be producing, and it's going to be written by Ta-Nehisi. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. Ta-Nehisi. And she's actually before. Bless you. She's done some shit before.
They wrote Black Panther run and they did a Captain America run. I read bits and pieces of the Captain America stuff, and it was pretty good.
Okay.
I'm interested in this just because it's J.J. Abrams, and as much as I just like the recent Star Wars trilogy, his stuff wasn't that bad for me. The Rise of Skywalker, I was entertained. I know it made no sense and it was really stupid, but I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that he had to like fix what fucked up in The Last Jedi,
Yeah.
which is another thing I want to rant about next week, I guess, because they announced that they're still gonna give Johnson another Star Wars movie, and I'm like, what the fuck? But
Not
that's
just,
next
not just,
week,
not just, not just
another
Abrams.
trilogy. Yeah, another trilogy. So I'm like, dude, what the fuck? But anyway, the Superman thing, this is gonna sound really bad, but it's just me. Like, I want to see how he can either fuck this up or make it right.
Right.
Because when it comes to superhero stuff, he kind of has he hasn't really done anything superhero, right? Like, yeah, I'm curious to see what happens and how he does it.
Right.
Really curious to see his take on Superman, and the writer that they chose is really good. So, yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah, like I was telling you earlier when we were talking about this, he does tend to have, especially like when he's just producing things, he does tend to have a good team to push it out for, to push it out
Yeah.
with. So in having a good team, the usually the team that he puts together are people that actually enjoy the things that are gonna be put out. So people that are fans of things that you know we that they're putting that they're putting out for the masses. So hopefully they continue to actually put stuff that's actually worth it for people. Because of course, you know, Superman is one of those characters that you know people love and that are you know upset completely obsessed about. Personally, I don't see why, but I get it, I guess. But yeah, that's Superman, whatever. Some other cool shit. I'm a huge fan of District 9. And been a fan for a while. Of course, District 9 came out a bazillion years ago. But we just recently got news that Neil Blomkamp and Charlotta Copley are actually working on District 10. And got greenlit, and they're working on a screenplay for it. And that's gonna be pretty fucking cool. I've been a fan of the series, of this show, of this movie. Well, I keep saying show, but it's actually a really fun show, a fun movie. Like I liked it a lot. I like what they did with the fact that aliens are pretty much like aliens in the regular world. What did you think about District 9, Renee?
Oh, I loved it. My fucking internet went out while you were talking about that whole shit. I really liked it. It's actually one of the better sci-fi movies to come out in the last like 20 years, I guess. I saw it again recently because it's either on Netflix or HBO. And yeah, man, it's a really, really cool movie. They built a really cool universe. I'm a big fan of Blomkamp, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Especially he's working on it with the dude that actually did the first one too. Like Charlotta Copley's gonna be in it, and
Oh, cool.
they're both working on it together. So it should be interesting to see what they're gonna do, what they're gonna put out for it.
He did a really good movie. I forgot what it's called with Matt Damon, which people really hated, but I forgot the fucking name of it. I'm totally blanking on it. But it was about like people on Earth are like the poorest of the poor, and the people living in the space station up above are like rich people.
Oh,
And
I
it's
remember
about
that.
the class
Elysium.
struggle. Yeah,
Elysium.
Elysium, like it's really good. Like people, nobody saw it, but it was really fucking
Oh, I
good.
saw
Okay.
it.
Yeah, like he
It
took
has
Hugo Sto
Jodie Foster in there with a
yeah,
little
she's the bad
funny
guy.
accent.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the bad guy. They that movie was supposed to be Halo. Like the bits and pieces of the space stuff was all supposed to be for the Halo movie. Because he was supposed to do it. And it just fell through. And he made Elysium instead. They got really bad reviews. Like, I might need to see it again, but I remember it being really good. The guy knows how to do action, man. He's really good at his action stuff. So yeah, I'm looking forward for whatever he does next.
I'm excited for it. Like
He's
I
done like commercials and like short movies lately, but I really hope he just gets off the ground.
And then some other shit that came out this week. We got a bunch of different trailers and shit. But the first one is something that's interesting, something that we actually spoke about on the show I'm going to say like about 10, 15 episodes ago. something that Zack Snyder's been working on forever, which is coming to Netflix, is going to be The Army of the Dead, which is a zombie movie. Done by Zack Snyder. Because why not, right? We finally got a trailer for it. And this actually looks really fucking fun. Like, I'm not going to say, like, oh, my God, it looks like the quintessential zombie movie. But it actually looks interesting. Like, I do want to check it out.
Yeah, it looks really good. I still say that Dawn of the Dead might be one of his best movies. And he can do horror really well. So I'm so into it. But I keep thinking, why the fuck do you need money at the fucking zombie apocalypse? Who the fuck is going to be worried about money when it's the end of the world? But whatever. There's a little thing in there. It's just kind of a spoiler, so I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
But it looks really cool.
It looks good.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing Bautista do like a meathead role because he's too big for his britches now.
Yeah.
But it looks really good. Mm-hmm. It's definitely got that whole Vegas vibe just from the trailer stuff. And yeah, man, the cast is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It looks great. The special effects and the zombie scenes they've shown have been really, really good.
Yeah.
So I am totally in for this. I mean, I've been waiting for this movie since they announced it because it looks really good.
Yeah.
May 21st.
Yep. Yeah, and that's gonna be on the Netflix. I want to see it. It looks cool. It looks fun. Like a fun zombie movie.
Yeah.
And that looks like it's gonna be it. We haven't really gotten a lot of fun zombie movies other than the Train to Busan or whatever.
The Train to Busan movies.
Second one is really good.
Peninsula is good too.
Yeah. And the prequel too, right? Yeah, the prequel.
Yeah, the cartoon. Yeah, the prequel cartoon is called Seoul Station. Seoul, like Seoul, Korea. So, mm-hmm. And then it's Train to Busan, and then there's Peninsula, which I actually watched last weekend, and I like it. It's very different than Train. It's really good.
Yeah,
it's good.
It has a whole different feel to that entire show.
And the action stuff is really good. Like the chase scenes that they do is really good. It's all CGI, which is my complaint, but it's fun. It's a good movie.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing about it is like, it's low budget CGI, but it's fun CGI.
Yeah,
it's shit that you're like, oh shit, I like what they did with that, because of course and the fact that like everything that is real CGI is all at nighttime, so you kind of expect it to be shitty CGI.
Yeah, but I forgot like the way they do it in Peninsula. Like, it's supposed to be it's 4 years after the Korean Train to Busan incident, right? So there's like a million zombies in Korea.
Yeah.
And every time they fucking go out on the chase scene, you see like thousands of fucking zombies, man. It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun. I liked it. I liked it.
Yeah, Peninsula. If you guys haven't seen it yet, it's like, I think I rented it for like $4 on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So definitely worth checking out.
It's out there. Go check it out. And then some other cool shit that came out this week. Of course, we all know that there's another fucking streaming service coming, and it's the Paramount Plus.
Technically, it's still out now. It's CBS. Like, it's a CBS app that has Star Trek.
They're changing the name.
Yeah, they had Star Trek recently. The big thing was The Stand. Like I said before, the Star Trek stuff is off the hook. Picard was amazing. This Paramount Plus thing, I think, is going to be pretty cool because like they did a really good job with CBS.
Okay, they're just changing the name and they're just adding some more things to it.
Yeah, it's going to be the exclusive home for a lot of Paramount stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, one of the things that I saw, other than the one thing that I'm going to be talking about, is they're doing a whole SpongeBob SquarePants prequel, a prequel series. So like
that's fun.
This like camp something. It's just fucking weird, but okay. They're all children and stuff. All the characters that we know already in SpongeBob, but as children. But what I really wanted to talk about was actually Beavis and Butthead are coming back. And that's gonna be fucking cool.
Yeah, I had no idea that was happening.
Yeah. I was not expecting them to actually put something out for this, but of course, you know, it's just a teaser trailer. There's nothing like, oh my god, what's gonna be showing up? But it's just a teaser of Beavis and Butthead announcing that they're gonna have something on on Paramount Plus.
So do we have everybody?
They're on a Zoom call. And it's fucking...
I'm right here. There you go. So like, we're making a movie. That's going to be on Paramount Plus. You said no.
Typical Beavis and Butthead shit. Like if you've seen Beavis and Butthead, you like Beavis and Butthead. This is something you're gonna enjoy. I fucking love it. I want to see it. I want to see this real quick. I want to see this now. Like I want to see more Beavis and Butthead. I've always loved it. Like I've always been a fan of it. The fact that they're gonna be putting some more shit out soon, it's fucking cool. Yeah, just gotta check it out on Paramount Plus. I guess I could show you the trailer for I could see if I could find the trailer for the SpongeBob.
The prequel. No, I saw it. Like okay. I saw it earlier. Yeah, it looks cool. Like I become a fan of SpongeBob like the older I get. So yeah. I'll check it out. The movie was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the 18 movies that they've done.
The last one where it's like real people.
Yeah,
they go to the beach or something. That was really good.
Yeah. And then I guess the last thing that I kind of want to talk about was Invincible. We spoke about Invincible previously on previous episodes and how, you know, Invincible is such a great fucking comic series and how they're planning on doing a live action series as well as the animated series coming to Amazon. And we saw a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a teaser, but we finally got an official full trailer for this. And it looks fucking amazing. Like I said, huge fan of the comic, and the fact that they're actually going to be doing a whole animated series for it that looks fucking great. It's fucking cool. Like, and it has a great cast. Steven Yeun from
Walking Dead, and yeah. He's done a couple of movies lately that are supposed to be really good. And J.K. Simmons is his dad. I don't know who they cast for the rest. It's a really different take on comic book stuff.
Yeah.
Comic book superheroes. There's a twist to it. You gotta watch the show to figure it out.
Yeah.
But
Sandra Oh plays the mom.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Sandra Oh from I think it's
Anatomy
and what I've been watching recently, which was
Oh yeah.
I forgot the name of it. My brain isn't working right now.
like the comic book's really good. I read the first like 20 or 30 issues.
Yeah.
It's a really good comic book. And yeah. It's just like the trailer says, it's about a kid who's trying to figure out, he finds out he's a superhero and his dad's a superhero.
Yeah.
And it just, a bunch of shit happens to this kid. It's really good. Comic was at least. I mean, Kirkman's involved with this, so I don't see him fucking it up. The one thing I do remember about the comic book was that it ended up being better than The Walking Dead because Kirkman did both. And I remember, like, I started reading Invincible when I stopped reading The Walking Dead. So it's a really good story, really good comic book.
Mm-hmm. It looks really good. It's a crazy story. And the fact that, like, you know, they have such a great cast for it, for an animated cast.
And the cast is great. And I'm also being reminded of how hardcore the series is. Like, it's fight. Yeah. It gets really dark, like really fast.
Yeah, yeah. It's very similar to. It's like an animated version of fucking The Boys.
Yeah, in a way, a little bit. Actually, I didn't realize how similar in certain aspects. There's a lot of similarities between those two like approaches to comic book superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's heroes that aren't perfect heroes.
Yeah,
and that's coming out next month.
Oh wow!
Literally a month from now.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see that shit. I'm also excited to see, you know, anything that comes out for the next fucking this year.
Yeah, it's like before we finish, like I said earlier, somebody asked me about what I was looking forward to in movies, and it goes for TV shows, right? Everything that was supposed to come out last year got moved to 2021. So yeah. There's so much shit to watch. I think the only thing that isn't happening this year that was supposed to happen, and they pushed that back, is whatever Star Wars movie was supposed to be after Rise of Skywalker or whatever. But there's movies that someone asked what movies I'm looking forward to, and Charlie asked, who was a part of the team. Charlie asked me what video games I'm looking forward to, and the Twitter Hal Weaver, who's at Weaver, WEAVER Works, WERX, one word, and Hal, dude, I don't know your real name, so I always fucking blank on it. But yeah, he's Geek and Eats on Twitter, and he's at Hal2814, one word. They all asked me about stuff. With the game, up with some really good ones. Hal asked about the Black Panther, the Superman movie, which we touched on. As far as movies go, there's so much stuff coming out this year that I couldn't just pick one. So I'm going to cheat and have a tie. One was Shang-Chi that I mentioned earlier, which is like the Marvel version of Bruce Lee, which I can't wait for. Mortal Kombat, which is in April.
Yep.
And what was the other one? Crap. I'm blacking on it. All right, so it's two. I forgot which was the other one. But yeah, Mortal Kombat's like probably the big one that I'm looking forward to, plus Shang-Chi. And I swear, I'm having a brain fart because I can't remember what the other one was.
It's also kind of late too, so it's
understandable. Yeah, but yeah. Fuck, there was something else, man. Anyway, as far as video games go, right now, the only games, there's a couple games I'm looking forward to. God of War Ragnarok, which is a sequel to God of War 2018, which is another fucking amazing game on the PlayStation. The new Call of Duty that comes out in November, I'm really looking forward to that because the last two Call of Duty games have been excellent. And the Halo. Whenever the Halo game comes out, it's supposed to be at the end of this year, but I think they pushed it back a little to 2022. Nice. What movies are you looking forward to this year?
As far as movies, pretty much, like, I want to see all the fucking Marvel movies, all the Marvel stuff in general. Like, I want to see all that shit. I'm excited to see, what is it? I'm having a brain fart again. Jesus Christ. What was the one that we were talking about?
Well, there? I just remember mine, Suicide Squad. I am really looking forward to seeing James Gunn's version because he fucking made Guardians of the Galaxy was a comic book that had no right to be good when they made it into a movie. Yeah. And he made it really good.
All C-listers.
Yeah, like I would never have thought that you would get a working version of Groot and Rocket Raccoon on a movie screen. The shit would work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad was one of my favorite DC comics when I was growing up, and I've kept up with some of it. But yeah, Suicide Squad. That's the other one that I blanked on.
Yeah, the one thing that a lot of things that I'm actually looking forward to are actually like TV shows.
Yeah, that was it. That was what got me too.
Yeah. So the one thing that I'm very excited for is actually The Bad Batch. That's supposed to
be Star Wars, the Clone War thing.
Yeah, that's supposed to be coming for Disney Plus, I think within the next few months. That I'm excited for. I'm excited to see Winter Soldier and Falcon. Loki. I'm very excited for Loki. I want to see what they're doing with that. The possibilities of seeing Black Widow on the TV. I want to see that. Just a lot of shit, like, as far as, you know, the geeky shit that we're into. Like, I fucking love it. The fact that we have everything pretty much at our fingertips on a daily basis. I'm excited to see all that shit.
Yeah, like, I love how... I'm an asshole about it because I get kind of mad at people now because I'm like, do you know how hard we had to work to be fucking nerds back in the day? But, like, at the same time, like, now I'm just like, dude, this is awesome because it's like, how can I say this without sounding like a total dick? We were right. Like, all the stuff we were into when we were kids in the 80s and 90s was awesome. And we got so much shit for it. And the fact that everyone's embracing this stuff is, like, you know, validation to a lot of the shit that we went through. Because I went through that with Star Wars when in the 90s and 2000s when I introduced it to my brothers. Yeah, man. Like, I'm so happy that everyone's fucking loving this stuff all around the world.
Everybody's
like,
embracing it everywhere.
Yeah, it's fucking dope. Like, I never thought I would see that many fucking nerdy shirts on people in my life. Meanwhile, I had like a closet full of them.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. Yeah. But yeah, man, it's awesome. Like going into Walmart and seeing like fucking a Star Wars t-shirt is just like so cool to me.
Yeah. It's cool because now like it's part of the ether. Like everybody knows about it. Even people that don't even watch the shit. Oh yeah, we know what that character is. Oh yeah, that's Baby Yoda. Like, okay, yeah, we know that's not his real fucking name, but everybody calls him Baby fucking Yoda. It's fucking cool. I fucking love it. Like I went into Walmart yesterday and I saw for Easter shit. They have fucking a huge Darth Vader with fucking clones as fucking
Oh, that's awesome.
As fucking Easter eggs.
Oh wow, that's cool.
It's fucking cool. Like, there's so much shit that's. And then I saw another fucking a Grogu fucking Easter basket.
Yeah, I saw a Grogu operation, which I thought was kind of weird, but
that's.
But yeah, legit, dude. I saw it today. I was at the toy section.
That's hilarious.
I do really, really love. I mean, I know I talk shit about them all the time, but I love the fact that Disney created The Mandalorian and that it's so good. Mm-hmm. And like the second season is such a deep dive into the expanded universe stuff.
Yeah,
and people loved it. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, it's really cool. Like that show too. Like we've seen so much stuff on that show that we've only seen like animated. Like I never thought we would get to see Ahsoka Tano in real and like live action or even anything close to what happened in the show. Yeah, like it's
exactly.
It's really great that all this stuff came out. Like you said, like you know, everyone loves it. It's good.
It's worth the watch. Like it's worth the sit down. So I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with that. I'm excited pretty much for anything that's to come out to feed my nerd brain.
Yeah, man.
I'm excited for it.
Agreed.
Yeah. And then also like not only just that, but like the music, man. The music that's been coming out this year been pretty fucking good. All the music that I've been posting, you know, throughout the episodes, are some of my favorites of this year so far. And I love it. I fucking love music, like I've said before. So the fact that there's so much more music coming out, especially now that everybody's pretty much like bored at home creating, that's what I fucking love about it. So,
yeah, I think to me, I think in my opinion, the music coming out the next year or two is going to be really good because people had to like stay at home and really focus on whatever was in front of them for real. And the music's probably going to be really good.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, something that I saw actually this week is actually earlier. Not something that I chose for the episode, but the Melvins actually came out with a new song.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I was never really a huge fan of the Melvins, but the fact that they're actually putting stuff out now is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for this week. Unless you have anything else to add.
No, I think I said everything I was supposed to say.
Yeah, so make sure you guys go check out innercitygeeks.net where we have a whole bunch of shit sometimes. Of course, we got this show. We got It's Poppin' with Friend of the Film Snob. We got Brides of J Presents. We have the Inner City Geeks webcomic, Inner City Geeks Turntable, Inner City Geeks First Watch, the webcomic, Comics of the World, Manga Time, Anime World, so much fucking shit on innercitygeeks.net. So go check all that shit out. Like I said, it's a lot of shit. So go check that out. Of course, a lot of that shit is also, you know, it's older stuff, but you have this show that you could just sit back and listen to. Hours and hours and hours of us just talking about geeky shit. we've been doing this for what, like 8 years already? So so go check all that shit out. It's all on there. Check all that shit out. And then on innercitygeeks.net we have links to cool places. Go get your free month of Amazon Prime. If you wait a little bit, get closer to the end of March, you could actually start watching fucking Invincible for free. click that link. It takes you straight there. Or you could just buy shit on Amazon through that link. And it gives us a little bit of kickback. Then you could also find shit on for your beard. For those that have beards, you know. Get some beardly goodness on Beard Octane. Get some cool beard balms, oils, butters. And then also, like, there's certain little, you know, utensils for your beard on there. Go do that. Then there's also links to CBDMD, where you get some cool shit on there. Some cool CBD shit, of course. And then SoSick Clothing Company. Get some cool shirts. Cool shirts, cool hats, cool hoodies. Lots of cool fucking designs.
Oh, yeah, they have eso.
Sorry, the cat was fucking with the corner over here.
Sorry.
It's all good. but yeah, go check all that shit out. And then you can find the show on SoundCloud, on Stitcher Radio, on Google Podcasts, and the motherfucking Spotify, because that's an awesome place to have shit. So go check all that, check them all out there. You can find us on the socials on Facebook.com or FaceySpace.com/InnerCityGeek, because Facebook doesn't exist. It's FaceySpace. On Instagram at InnerCityGeeks, on Twitter at InnerCityGeeks. Where can we find you, sir?
You can usually find me on Twitter and Instagram at DarthBX. One word, DarthBX.
Yes. And you guys can find me on the Instagram and the Twitter at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. Such a fun time. It's been a great episode. Yeah. So say your goodbye, sir.
Wear a mask, be safe, and I'll see you guys next time.
So I guess before we go, I'd like to say thank you for everybody that actually been listening to the show. And that's actually been, you know, sharing the show. It's been great. I appreciate it. People that thank everybody that chimed in on us, you know, asking.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And before we go, I'd like to bring some musics, of course. Some more musics. And this week, I figured I'd go with a band that I've kind of been a fan of for a while. And they came out with the new musics this week. And I'm talking about Papa Roach. they've been putting out shit constantly. And the fact that they got some new shit coming out this week featuring a dude that's actually pretty fucking dope. Danny War Snoop from Asking Alexandria. They collaborated on a song called Broken Is Me. It's a great fucking song. Papa Roach has evolved since their first fucking album. And they of course they have, you know, a bit of a hard rock sound now, not really metal and stuff like that, but it actually sounds really good. So I like it, so check it out. Like I said earlier, like, thank you guys for listening. Yeah, they're awesome. It's been fun. Don't be a dick, but always fucking remember that the geeks shall inherit the earth. Your justice is broken as me. Shut your mouth, cause I can see through the lies. We're only getting sicker from the secrets we hide. Disaster is a
inside of me.
Just as broken as me.